So, why did you choose Hardware New York? I mean, I remember that you were, when you first were in New York, you were kind of visiting different spaces
Yes.
and still not knowing where and how. And so, if you can tell a little bit,
The process?
yes, that would be nice.
So yeah, I was looking for spaces where I could meet people and do stuff. So actually, it's a space. So when I landed in New York, I tried to get in touch with the digital artist I know. So Zachary Lieberman, because he gave a workshop in Imal and I attended it, so I kind of knew him. And there was also other people that I've seen in Brussels, and I thought, okay, I can meet these guys there and ask where I can go and so on. And so Zachary gave me the Hardware Hack Lab tip, and he said, oh, go there, it's a really nice crowd, it's every week. And so I went there, and it's one of the first meetup I went to. And I don't know, I stick there for many reasons. First, it's every week, so that's a good I mean, it's every Wednesday night. The people there were really cool. It was really chill space, and there was free food, and there was a lot of like hardware tech, like Kinect, LeapMotion, Oculus, Arduino, Raspberry Pi. All that was freely available if you wanted to use it during the meetup, of course. And you can also ask to bring it home. They had Google Glass also. I mean, that's the thing with that Hardware Hack Lab, is that since it's funded by a company, they're always buying the latest stuff. To not everything, but you can go to the guys handling the lab and you say, hey, listen, there's this new technology, whatever, it seems nice for this or that reason, I'd like to use it. They're gonna buy it.
And what's the company that founded this hack lab?
It's called ThoughtWorks. It's a consulting, software consulting company, technology consulting company. It's a very big company. They have like 3,500 employees across the world. And so they do consulting. So they don't produce anything, but they have clients, and then they work with their clients to improve whatever.
Network or, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
Customized software, probably.
yeah. But for example, there's like personalities that you know that worked for ThoughtWorks or that work for ThoughtWorks. Dimitri Kleiner works for ThoughtWorks. Aaron Schwartz works for ThoughtWorks. Then plus many others that I don't know.
And they, so the people managing the lab are also working for the
Yes.
company. That's their full-time job.
No. No, it's kind of like it's part of their job, but it's not their full-time job. And the one I knew first, he's a developer and artist, digital artist. He's called Andrew McWilliams. He's English, but he works for ThoughtWorks there. Then there's Kent Raman, who's a designer, and now there's Greg Dutcher, who's a young developer in the company. And yeah, these three guys.
And so what's the space like? Where is it
It's
situated?
the 99 Madison Avenue, 15th floor. It's in the office of the company. So the office, the company, they have mainly it's very like open space where they can reconfigure it and a lot. And so they have like a meeting room, and it's usually in the meeting room when it's not taken for other events. So it's there.
And how many people are attending?
Depends. There is depends, because sometimes they invite people for presentation. So when there is a presentation, I would say that there's more people attending, just to be a spectator or whatever.
Are we talking about 50, 20,
Oh no,
100?
yeah, no, no, no more than 50. the max is 50. So sometimes it's just like 5 or 10 people, and maximum is 50 people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you say I represent the hardware lab, or I am part of the hardware lab, yeah, what does it mean exactly?
Good question. I don't know. I think it's because you're a regular attendee. But I don't know why. I was quickly part of it in the sense that I was going every week, and then after 2 or 3 times, I was discussing with the different people there, and Andrew was really managing it, and he was like, "Oh, you have a very interesting profile, and you do a lot of nice stuff. Like, do you want to be officially part of the Hardware Hack Lab?" And so we put your name on the website, and we do a little interview, there's no like really membership or not membership. Mm. You know, of course there's like a number of people that are on the website, which have their profile and whatever they do and the link to their websites and so on. Why these ones and not the other ones? I think it's mainly Andy that is really, and kind of like seeing who's coming often and if these people have really interesting stuff to share. Mm. Because there is sometimes only people coming just to get information. It's really obvious that sometimes just people come there to just grab ideas and then they never come back. Mm. But that's not the majority. The majority is people that come every week. Mm. That come regularly. Mm. And then some people just come to chat, sit around. Some others really work on their own things. There is a lot of people fan with brain sensor interfaces, because there is in New York there is Brainduino, which is a project where they have this open hardware brain interface. One of the people also like, who's responsible for the Hardware Hack Lab is Ellen Perlman. She's a PhD student in Hong Kong, and she runs this group called Volumetric Society. And she's part of the organization. I don't know how she's involved with ThoughtWorks, or where does the ID come from, or where do they... How come... It's organized by both. It's a ThoughtWorks Volumetric project, kind of. I don't know why it's put up like this, but... And she's very, she's doing PhD in, I think, brain sensors. So she has attracted, I guess, a lot of people around that. And also because in New York, there's a lot of people working on that, or around the Hardware Hack Lab. I don't know.
And concretely, what does that mean?
Concretely, you put something on your head, and then it shows the brain activity you can have, like in front lobe or back, or what, depending on the technology you're going to use. And they're trying to use that in artistic projects or... Mm. Yeah, so Brainduino is really a open, like... There's Brainduino and then there is another one. I know of 3 projects. One is like really a commercial project, which was called Muse, and it's from Toronto, and... It's very like end user commercial, already like very well made, I would say. A front lobe sensor. And then the Brainduino people, they were more like hackers and hack your own thing. And it's not really clear where they want to end up with this.
Mm. Mm.
And then there is some people using that for generate music or images or... Kind of like an interface.
Mm. And what are you doing? What are you working on?
I started working with Leap Motion because I didn't know. I mean, they have all this equipment there, but I didn't know really what to do. I was not interested in Oculus or whatever. But so the Leap Motion, you know what it is? It's a little like box like this that you connect in USB, and then you can see your hand in the air. It's really tracking your hand.
Okay.
And so you can track the position of your hand above the device. And so I use that to do a little drawing application. I was just to test the software with processing. It has all
it's a bit like a theremin.
I guess you could build a theremin with it. But it's really a device, a very small device, kind of still cheap. It's like $70. And it really tracks your hands really quite well. Now there's like version 2 of the firmware that comes out, and or the driver. And they've really improved it. Now they even also like sell that as a, you stick it to your Oculus. So it's facing forward, so you have the Oculus and then you put your hands, and it's really tracking the hands really, really precisely. It can give you like information about the position of every phalange, I don't know how you say that.
Articulation.
Yeah, articulation, yeah. Everything. It really gives you the whole, the position.
Yeah. So for your drawing program, it means that you have defined the two fingers.
The drawing program, I'm just like tracking the index of the index finger, and I'm just like drawing like this.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't go very like.
One has to start somewhere.
And also, I mean, I really like these technologies and stuff, but I'm not super excited of like. It's fun to see. It's interesting to see. Okay, you can track all the fingers, but then like really thinking about. You know, and the whole what you can do with this, I think, takes a lot of time. Mm. And here, I just wanted to play a little bit with the technology, and so I have this drawing application that generates a PDF, and I'm fine. Like, done. Next.
And when you have experience with Belgian spaces,
yeah,
and now you're in New York,
yes.
Can you kind of not compare, because I can imagine it's difficult to compare, but. Give some personal impression on it.
Yeah. It's hard because for me I really like that space. I went there every week. I like the people that are there. I think it's very it's hard to compare with Belgium because also because with Belgium I don't remember going to spaces like this much. You know, I mean, I can talk about the house, but the house was something very particular.
Mm.
And it was not like this open space that was every week where people could go. The hackerspace, I never got really involved.
Mm.
I went there once or twice, but never really went every week, like every Tuesday, like the opening Tuesday. I don't know what's going on every opening Tuesday there. Then... Yeah, email doesn't have that, or all the other organizations that I know. No, I was more like in Brussels, I was more attending events because I knew there was something happening, you know, like, okay, there's going to be this theme, or there was. But I don't remember of any open space where you could go and there was stuff to do. I mean, not stuff to do, there was like just hardware you could use, and then you were just there to be using it or whatever. So that's for me, I cannot compare.
No.
Because of that.
Yeah. So it means, sorry.
No. And then also the Hardware Hack Lab, I think it's very unique in New York. I went to the NYC Resistor, which is a hackerspace, and it seems to work like a hackerspace, like any other hackerspace. I went to meetups, but then there's like very focused on this particular technology, and it's it's like a meetup every month or whenever they organize one, and it's very focused on something. So that looks like Brussels somehow, except that there's way more people.
Mm.
There's 10 times more people.
And if you say there is a hackerspace, but it's not the same, like it functions like a Brussels hackerspace.
Yeah.
What's then the difference between the hardware open space and that hackerspace? Just trying to understand your...
I think the hackerspace is really this community-owned space where you need to go through a process of selection somehow. Not selection, but kind of like the hackerspace of Brussels. You know, if you want to have the key and come there whenever you want, you need to... get into the community somehow, you know, and people need to say, oh yeah, that's a nice person, or he's going to pay $20 a month.
Yeah, but that's what the Tuesday evenings are for, which is the same as what you did by attending every week. Then you become
yes.
a fellow, and then you
yeah, but with the Hardware Hack Lab, there's never a membership. There's never a... It's not our space. It's still part of Volumetric ThoughtWorks thing.
Yeah.
You know, if they want to shut it down, they shut it down. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, you have no responsibilities.
No, I have nothing to say in the... It's not true that I have nothing to say in the sense that, yeah, I can suggest things and whatever, but this is so dependent on for me, on that company that, or the will of the company that, yeah, it can they can suddenly say, like, oh, we're not doing it anymore, and it doesn't exist.
Hmm.
With our hackerspace...
It's community built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's more resilient in that sense.
Hmm.
Now I see and I know that the Hardware Hack Lab is also something that they use as a... For many reasons, but it's a way to attract people also to the company to maybe hire them afterwards. It's also something that... inside the company is viewed as a positive thing, so employees are can also benefit from the Hardware Hack Lab, and yeah, makes them feel better about their work.
Like a fitness room.
Yeah, I guess. Yes, kind of, but it's more interesting, no? For a technology company to have a Hardware Hack Lab than to have a fitness room.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a fitness room. I don't think so.
Yeah, nice, interesting. I don't know. Is there anything else you would like to...
Yeah, I think what I really like about that spec is the uniqueness of it. Really, I think it's really... It sounds like it's... of course, it's paid by a company. It's in the office of the company and whatever. But it really... It's really depending on the people running it there. And most of the people running it there are not affiliated with that company in any sense. There's this core group of people that are there every week, and they like everybody who's there like sharing what they're doing actually.
Mm.
So it's more about that.
Mm.
And okay, yes, it's in a office space. Food is paid by, I mean, ThoughtWorks, and it's ThoughtWorks is also giving the hardware. But actually, you don't feel it at all.
Mm.
And there's never someone coming to you like to say, oh, you know, would you like to work at ThoughtWorks? Or, you know, like, so when I'm saying that it's something that they might use to attract people or use to recruit people, yes. But that would be foolish to do it, you know, not doing it also, you know.
Yeah.
But it's never something where you feel the pressure of it. And I think in all the events I went to New York, I never felt that pressure either. I talked about Spotify, where we went for a design event. I went to, many different... I mean, all the spaces I went for all the events, they were owned by a company. But I never felt like... I had to give back something to that company, or that they were getting anything from it.
A part of having to listen 5 minutes to someone explaining
what the company does.
Yeah, and who they want to hire.
But you already, yeah. But that was also like, I think it's very interesting. I think Brussels and people in Brussels should really tap on that also. There's no reason that couldn't happen in Brussels or Paris or elsewhere. If it's done, you know, without any shame. I mean, we know, I mean, when you're using hardware or whatever, you know, there's a company building it or whatever. People are using the hardware and the open source to, we're part of this ecosystem, you know. Whether you want it or you don't want it, it's there. So I think it's quite sane not to be... to be hypocrite about it somehow. Just, yeah, space in New York is super expensive. Companies have all the space, or most of it. And yeah, public service is in a crappy state. So yes, that's how they do it. But it's good. I mean, it's good.
It's good that the public... This public funding is in a crappy state.
No, not that. That's really sad. It's so sad. I mean, people in Belgium, they're complaining about holes in the street. Come to New York.
Mm-mm.
I mean, the street is just in a trash. is amazing. The metro, but it's raining 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a metro at 4 in the morning and go home. But yeah, it's a very strange thing. And then you're in New York, you think in the most connected city in the world, but when you're in the metro, you're totally disconnected. You don't have phone or internet. So when you're in the metro, you have your book and whatever you have on your phone to play with, but you're not going to be able to call your friends to say you're late or whatever. So that's really also like, you know, we take things for granted in Brussels, but then, yeah, in New York it's different.
Mm.
So that's good. But the other space I could talk to, actually, which I haven't talked much, is Baby Castles.
Yeah.
Baby Castles is a co-working space I'm now. It's a weird space. But that makes me think more about Europe.
It's a Baby Castle.
Yeah, Baby Castle. And it's like a co-working space for independent game developers.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't figured out exactly how it works either. I know they're losing money. That's all I know. Because that's the main subject of it, sometimes. But it's a community-owned space by artists, digital artists. They're focusing on game development. And so there's like a lot of game stuff in the space. It's super weird games. Very artistic-like games, kind of. They organize a lot of concerts. So people know Baby Castles because of the concerts. They don't know much about the gaming and the co-working space.
But that's autonomous then, community run.
Yeah, totally.
And where is it? Where is that?
14th Street.
Okay.
Which is very very weird, because 14th Street is where you have Union Square and you have all these very famous big whatever companies. But then there's this little part between 6th Avenue and 7th Avenue, which is super crappy. There's a lot of like homeless people in the streets, and the stores are just like crappy, and that's where Baby Castle is. I don't know. This like, for me, it's also really fun, because like I'm here as a tourist, and so I have, you know, you have your own mental model of things, and then suddenly you're like, huh, why is this part shit? While all the rest is super rich. Because the first time I saw it was at 14th Street. I was like, 14th Street? Damn, how's the building going to be? And it's just... But then they told me that the landlord doesn't want to rent it to any company. So that's why he rents it to artists. And then next door, there's another group called Hack Manhattan, where it's people doing... looks like a hacker space, but it's a co-working space. And there's a shitload of stuff in there. And...
What do you call a co-working space? Is it the way we understand it here? Like,
yeah,
you just go with your computer and...
Yeah.
And you pay per hour?
Per hour, or you pay per week or per month. And the idea is that you work on your own things, and you're not... I mean, it's not that you're not supposed, but you don't have to share what you're doing, or you don't have to whatever. But then Baby Castle, it's more... They have Monday, which I never participated yet, but they have Monday, which is called like co-working all night long. So they're like hacking on their game all night long. So it happens that I come on Tuesday morning and there's like people sleeping on the sofas and stuff. and they have like this weird mentality, weird, like funny, kind of like artistic American way mentality of dealing with stuff, and some people are working on their game, some others, I don't know what the fuck they're doing. And at the same time, they use the space as exhibition space also. So it's like concert, exhibition, bar, workshops, co-working.
Everything they come up with.
Yeah. And then next door, there's a hack lab where they have 3D printers, scanners, laser cutter. They have a shitload of stuff. And there's also like a bunch of weird people in there. And
they collaborate? No? They know each other?
Yes, they know each other. It's like, it's very porous, the two environments. But at the same time, they're different.
Yeah. Nice.
But they share internet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Hack Manhattan. He was, yeah, and there's this guy in that Hack Manhattan who's like a sysadmin Linux freak, because he came and I was working. He was like, oh, you're using Linux. Then we start talking Debian. He's a Debian package manager. And then so we start talking about this, and then he gave me access to a server and said, oh, yeah, what do you want? Do you need an address or an email or whatever? He was like giving me a lot of shit. What is going on?
Cool.
Yeah, everything's weird.
Yeah, nice.
Everything's weird.
Okay. I think we need to wrap up. It's 4 o'clock. Yeah. But thank you very much.
You're welcome.